Storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear. your hands together right here.
I raise a hallelujah.
Come on and raise your hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
Come on and confuse the enemy.
Back to us. Be shaken
they know the battle is not mine. I got a stronger, the victory's already won. Yes, it is. Oh, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. Yes, he did. My God is great. Earth and death, hell and the grave. Oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true.
Come on, y'all.
So I'll speak to the
no valley too low. There's no fear that I have he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big. There's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big. There's no weapon too strong. There is nothing that's impossible. But I won't be shaken. No, I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true.
Comes from the word. Do you know where it is in the Bible? It's lots of times in the Bible. But one of my favorite is in Mark 11:22. After all, Jesus said, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Can you imagine that? You know what? Our mountains are nothing compared to the strength of God. Our mountains are nothing. What's your mountain today? Come on, let me hear it. What's your mountain today? Is it cancer? Is it finances? Is it health issues? What's your mountain today? Is it children that need to come to God? Is it family members? Come on, tell me. Is it emotions? Is it a depression? What is your mountain today, folks? Let me hear it. In faith, right now, you pray and ask the Lord, move this mountain. Move this mountain. We're going to sing this again. Don't go anywhere, because there's mountains that need to be moved today. And guess what? I can't move your mountain. I can't. Pastor can't move your mountain. You and your faith, your dedication, your commitment to God, when you state, this be removed, that is your, it's in your hands. When you release that to the Father and ask Him to move that mountain, it may not be moved the way you want it moved, but God will move your mountain. Yes. Let's sing that again. Yes. Praise you, Lord.
Speak to the mountain.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, it's time to move. It's my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better.
Believing. Faith. Faith. And it's in your hands when you release it to the Father. Amen. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, right now for the mountains that have been moved in our behalf, but also, Lord, for the mountains that were moved today during this song. We thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us encouragement, that gives us strength, Lord, and the reality, Lord, that you have given us this ability to state in you, Lord, our faith to remove the mountains. Father, we thank you, Lord, for miracle. We ask, Lord, right now that you begin that and continue that healing process in our little body. Father, we pray, Lord, for strength. We pray, Lord, for healing. Wholeness, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray for sweet Kate, Sadie. We ask, Lord, that you would allow her to gain weight, that you would allow her, Lord, to breathe holy, that you would continue the progress in this child, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray for this family, Lord, that you would encourage them, take away depression, encourage them, uplift them. Lord, let them state to this mountain, be moved, thrown into the sea. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Robert Hurdle. Thank you, Lord, for what the surgeons have done. And we ask, Lord, that you continue that healing process. Lord, provide every need. And Lord, for Barron, we thank you, Lord. Every day is progress. Lord, every step is gain. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are allowing that family to walk through this with wholeness, with your faith. And Lord, as he comes through in victory, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. And Lord, for these mountains that are standing here today, these people that have had those mountains, those difficulties, those things they're walking through, Lord, today we ask, Lord, that in faith, we ask you to move that mountain. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers in a timely way, for being the God that not only loves us, provides for us, encourages us, but Lord, the God that can move those mountains. And even though we realize our weakness, our humanness, our inability to change things on our own, we know we have you, Lord, that does those things for us. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. We give you praise. Come on, give it praise. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. Thank you, Lord. You're bigger. You're stronger. You're better. Carpenter Shop Church, and I don't want to stop worshiping this morning. He's done so much for us, and he's doing so much for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, so many times in our lives, we forget. We're in such a busy state. I think the devil likes us to be that way. He likes us to be so busy that we don't take the time to realize all that God's doing and our own abilities to state things, to bring things to God. It's not in our own efforts. It's in God's. When we have that faith, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we have some opportunities coming up this month. We don't want you to miss that. Ladies, sign up. If you need some help, Stacy Evans is great to help with you, available to help with you. Brenda Lassiter is able to help with you. If you need to sign up for the Gather Conference, you don't want to miss this, ladies. It's going to be great. It's going to be in Greenville, but if you need to carpool, let Stacy Evans know, and it's going to be a wonderful opportunity. We already have right many women that's already signed up. They're going to enjoy it so much. Also, the men's event that's coming up. The men's event's coming up also the very same day, I think September the 17th, 18th. So the women's event is 17th and 18th. The men's event is the 18th. The men's event is right here. No excuses, men. We plan on seeing you. You will be encouraged and you will be challenged as a man and leader of your home and family. So make sure you come. Also, the ladies have exercise. And that's going really well on Wednesday nights. I don't think you'll be able to catch up with Brenda Lassiter. And anyway, you can come and try. It was really fun this past Wednesday night. It's actually stirred a lot of women to get moving, to get moving. So come and enjoy that time, 6 and 6:30. All right. At this time, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. Our buckets are down at the front. There's also some at the back. And we look forward to the blessings that God gives us when we are faithful to tithe and bring our offerings to Him.
How great thou art.
then sings my soul.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Denise, do we have another video clip there before I preach this morning? Okay, good deal. Good deal. Well, God bless you guys. God bless you, Presbyterians. Amen. God love you, Catholics. Come on. I said good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. So good. Aren't you glad we can laugh in church? I wonder what they say about us. Man, those folks are crazy. How many of you said that before when you went to a Pentecostal church for the first time? What was that? Okay. I declared, swore out the first time I ever went inside a Pentecostal church that when I got out the door, I would never go back in there again. Amen. I would never go back in there again. And now I do this every day of my life. Amen. God had a plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to be with you this morning. I sent someone a text yesterday. I can't remember who it was, but I said, hey, I'm pitching for the next three games. So what that means is I have a series coming up here for three Sundays. Somebody say three Sundays. And I want to speak to you messages that I feel the Holy Spirit has deposited into my heart and my mind concerning revival. I have a couple of great speakers coming up in the latter part of the month heading into October, and we're going to have a series of services for revival. Revival is not a series of services. Amen. How many of you know God can break forth in revival anytime he wants to? Amen. I like the challenge that Pastor Joy placed upon you this morning. It's really your responsibility. The reason seats are next to you empty this morning is not my fault, okay? It's your fault, all right? Come on, smile. The reason you have empty seats beside you is because the church is really not engaged in doing the work of the ministry like we should be. Amen. The cults are. Hello? Come on, guys, talk to me today. The cults are. Jehovah's Witnesses are knocking on doors every Saturday morning while you're swimming or playing golf or going to the mall or whatever you do for your pastimes. They're knocking on doors every Saturday morning, bringing you literature, encouraging you to get connected with them. The Mormons are, okay? They're busy. They're going out two by two, and they're giving their teenagers. What are your teenagers doing when they turn 18 or whatever? They're giving their teenagers to, if you're a Mormon young man, you are going on the mission field for 2 years. Okay? Now, I don't advocate that kind of requirement. But I'm just using it as an analogy that the cults are busy doing their work, and we Christians, it's some of you say, well, Pastor, this is all I can do just to make it on Sunday, you know? That's not really where you should be living. You should have a sense of joy and expectation and excitement about what God is doing, because He has called you to be a fisher of men. Amen? He has. So you should not be satisfied unless you can see pews that are empty filled. You can see souls that are lost saved. You can see people that are bound set free. You should never be happy until you can see those folk come out of darkness, come on, into the light of the gospel. Amen? That's, you know, Pastor, you're being awful corrective this morning. That's my job, okay? My job is to teach you, to train you, to equip you, to inspire you. I didn't bring you in here this morning. Well, I didn't bring you in here this morning anyway. But you're not here today for me to pat you on your back and tell you what a swell guy you are. And neither are you to tell me that. Some people tell me, Pastor, I love your message. Do you love it enough to let it change you? Do you love it enough to let it get down into your spiritual DNA and reshape the way you think and the way that you act as a born-again Christian? Somebody today, I saw it early on the newspaper this morning. We call the newspaper is Facebook. I just glanced at it earlier. How many of you know that when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is grab your cell phone? Come on, anybody besides me do that? I wake up in the morning and I turn over and I grab the phone, because it's just like the paper used to be thrown in your driveway. And you can scroll down and you can read information. Come on, let's just be honest and take a poll. How many of y'all, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you grab your cell phone? I do, every morning. And I know that sometimes I think my wife is asleep, but then I see her take the covers and cover her head. And what she's saying in a very kind way is, please turn the light of your phone off, okay? Because I get up early, okay? I wake up early in the morning. But on the Facebook entry this morning, the very first thing that caught my eye was someone made this statement. I'm not a practicing Christian, but... Okay? I'm not a practicing Christian, but they were making a statement of faith. And even though they were saying, I'm not a practicing Christian, but they were beckoning, calling on God to come to their aid, come to their rescue. Can I just tell you something? God honors that kind of thing. Okay? And so what did I do? I just began to pray, God, I pray that you reach out to this person who says, I'm not a practicing Christian. You know what? We need more. We got a lot of people in the church that aren't practicing Christians. Come on, let's just be honest. How many of you know you can be in the garage, but you're not necessarily a car? Okay? I mean, you can stand in the garage. That doesn't make you a car. So you can come into the church, and that does not make you a bona fide, qualified, authentic child of the living God, a Christian. So we have to engage ourselves. We have to see ourselves responding in such a way as Christians do and did in the Bible. You know, I never get tired of looking at the characteristics of New Testament Christians, because I see in the Bible, I see tremendous transformation and change that would go so far as to take a man who had a hatred, somebody say hatred, who had a hatred for Christianity and a hatred for Christians. His name was Paul. He was actually Saul, who literally hated Christians. And the Bible says that this man breathed threatening words and slaughtering words about Christians. That means with every breath that he took, his insides were filled with hatred toward people who followed Christ. Can I tell you something that I've discovered about this world today, and something that I've discovered even about our own nation? Can I just tell you, most of Washington hates Jesus. I don't think y'all got that. Most of Washington hates Christianity. Okay? They do. I'm just concerned about our nation. I'm concerned about where we're going. And so I'm just asking the Lord, Lord, speak to my heart. I'm an influential Christian leader today. I'm speaking to my people today. I'm speaking to many people across the globe today. People all over the world will hear what I'm saying. So God, I don't take that lightly. I'm not here to boast or brag on that. I thank God you give the money to make sure that our message goes to 182 nations a week. I get emails and confirmations about healings and deliverances that take place every week. A woman was watching your church program and God supernaturally healed her of something that she's had all of her life. This guy sends me things. He said, Pastor, people are watching your program and they're so engaged into the power of the Spirit of God that is just flowing in their lives because they're engaged in what your church is doing. I'll say, wow, that's amazing. I didn't hear that happened in the building last Sunday. You know what? It can happen. It can happen. That's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you in these next three messages about seeing revival clearly. And I want you to just take a big eraser, and I want you to erase any preconceived idea about what you think or visualize revival to be. Some people might say, well, revival is when that evangelist who could out-preach the preacher came to town. Revival is when that guy stayed for four nights and the place was packed every night and people were laying on the floor because they passed out under the power of the living God. Revival is when people were just shouting and running and screaming. Revival. You can call revival whatever you want to, but I want you to erase any preconceived idea about what you think or feel revival is and allow the Holy Spirit to define revival according to the Bible. Okay, would you do that with me? How many of you would be willing to make that kind of commitment in your mind and spirit today? Okay? Would God do something in this house, in your heart, in my heart, that would revolutionize your thinking to make certain that you want to pull everybody that you can into this thing called the body of Christ? Because, you know, I want to make it as hard to get to hell from Mahoski as possible. Okay, can I just say it like that? I just want to make it hard to get to hell from Mahoski. You know what? God, give us those people that are bound up. Give us those people that are homosexuals. Give us those people that are engaged in lifestyles or choices that has taken them down the wrong road. Amen? I don't dislike any of those people. In fact, I love them. I reach out to people. I told a gentleman at the gas pump just a few weeks ago, who's very openly known homosexual in this community. I said, hey, man, when you come into church, we hadn't seen you in a long, long time. He said, I know, Pastor Wallace, I need to be there. And so I just went for it. How many of you know sometimes you just have to go for it? I said, our church is probably one of the most accepting churches in this city. You'll be welcome at Carpenter Shop Church. And he said, you know what? You're right. Every time I went there, I never felt judged. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for giving me some feedback, you know, giving me some feedback on what you felt when you came in the church and experienced our time together in worship. I don't know about you, but if you're like myself, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I grab really is not my cell phone. Let me correct that. The first thing I grab are my glasses, because I want to be able to see how to pee. Come on, okay? Come on, Pastor. Let's just be honest here. I want to be able to see where I'm using the bathroom because I can't see the hole, okay? Come on, I'm just being honest with you. I am legally blind. See, that brought tithes and offerings in. Let me say that one more time for a second. I am legally blind in my left eye. I have a crazy condition that I was born with that when I go backwards like this, my eye has a gland attached to it, and I look like a monster. You know, my eye just, it never got disconnected. Today they would clip it off, and you just keep on going, I'm sure. But I have this weird gland attached to my eyeball that runs all the way down the left side of my body. And it has severely affected my vision, unable to correct it completely. But my optometrist, my ophthalmologists, all those guys that I've been to said, you know, really, you could easily say that you're legally blind in your left eye. I can't see nothing in my left eye. And, okay, so what has that done to my right eye? It has overworked my right eye all of my life, okay? Thank God for corrective lenses, because you know what corrective lenses do? They bring you back and they cover up for the deficiency. Hear me, church. They cover up for the deficiency that you have with your natural eye-seeing ability, and they correct it so that you can see what you're supposed to see. Corrective lenses. Man, I would to God that we would, in our eyes of the Spirit, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to correct us and allow us to see the work of the kingdom the way we should see it. Come on, are you hearing me today? I would to God that that would happen. Glasses cause you to see better. They bring your visual capabilities back to clarity. That's why they call them corrective lenses. They're designed to bring you to that place of clarity and focus that you just don't have without glasses. So I grab those things and put them on, and then I pick up my cell phone. Okay? Because honestly, I can't see without glasses. If I take my glasses off, I'm like the man in the Bible. How many of you remember when you saw the man in the Bible that Jesus touched him? He says, well, I see men as trees. Okay? As God is my witness, I know my wife is sitting there. Okay? And if I did not know that she was sitting there, as God is my witness, without glasses, I cannot see facial features. I couldn't tell you that she has glasses on. I couldn't tell you that she has a nose. I just see an image. That's all I see. But when I put my glasses on, ooh, she's a brick house. Okay? She's mighty, mighty, and I'm not going any farther, okay? Are y'all worldly people in this house today? I'm not going any farther. Yeah, I used to hang out at the Red Brick Saloon in Elizabeth City when the people came in and covered the Commodores. Amen? How many of y'all like the Motown Commodores? I did. But you see, I'm caused to see clearly when I put the glasses on, okay? And so God has to enable me or help me to see the church as he wants to see it. Amen? I want us to see the church with greater clarity and greater focus, seeing revival clearly. I invite you to join me in this season, okay? Check this out. Catch this. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I don't like pastors who say, well, we're going to be fasting for the next 40 days. You say, well, Pastor, you've done that. Yes, but I didn't demand that you do your fast the way I did mine. Okay? So we offer you a period of consecration. Let's let it begin today. Okay? I'll invite you to join me in a time of consecration. And some of you may just simply fast social media. Have you ever seen one of your friends say, well, farewell, guys, for the next 30 days? Come on, you know. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to sacrifice for 30 days, and I'm disengaging my Facebook account. See you next month. Anybody ever seen some of your friends do that? Okay. How many of you got friends you wish would do that? Come on. Amen. How many of you have disengaged some of your people? Come on. Besides me. I unfollow. I block. I send into outer darkness. You know, just I have the power to just control those things. Okay. And so I'm asking you to join me. I'm asking you to enter into a time of consecration. It's almost worth staring at the fall of the year. I love the fall, man. I love pumpkin spice. No, I don't. I'm just lying. Like, I don't like pumpkin spice. I don't like pumpkin anything. I do like the pumpkin roll-ups. Are y'all into pumpkin roll-ups? I like those. But we're going into the fall where everything is orange and brown and pumpkin and all. And we're going into a season. So I'm asking you to walk into a season with me that has nothing to do with a pumpkin. But let's let it be a time of consecration. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, Pastor was speaking this morning. What is my role in this? What should I fast? Should I just say, okay, no more carbonated beverages for me? Some of you could say, you know, I'm going to fast for the next 30 days, 60 days, whatever, 90 days. God, what would you have me to do? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke of spiritual bondage, those things that are holding you back. God, what would you have me to do in this next season of my life so that I might be one who sees revival clearly in my own life before anybody else's? Come on, man. Go with me. Ask the Lord, do I lay down social media platforms? Do I just push carbonated beverages to the side? Do I quit eating breads and sweets or whatever? What do you want me to fast? Do I stop my activities that I usually do? Do I just say, hey, forget the fishing pole for the month of September, okay? I'm not going fishing. You ask the Lord what he would ask of you to get your spiritual attention. That's a pretty easy commitment. But as Pastor Joy said earlier, it's really up to you, okay? I could call it and then you not participate in it, and we haven't accomplished anything. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and asks you, let me have this, okay? Let me have this for 30 days. Then I promise you that God will take whatever it is that you've given to him, and he will replace it if you spend time with him. He will replace it and give you more than you could have ever asked for as you formerly would have carried a long time. Sometimes I get really shockingly embarrassed. I pray my wife don't see this. Your screen time this week was. I said, God, you got to be kidding me. How many of y'all have ever been shocked before? I was like, man, are you serious? I spent that many hours with my screen live and active? I'm telling you, folks, I've seen numbers on my phone that shook me. I was like, man, you got to be kidding. I didn't do Facebook that long. Hey, could you guys check your... No, they got it right. You're wrong for thinking that they didn't. Because you know why? They're tracking you like a bloodhound, okay? All you got to do is be sitting with your friends talking about something and give them about 15 minutes, and it's going to show up trying to sell you one on your screen, okay? They're tracking you. They know your behaviors. They know your thoughts. They know because your thoughts get put down on the page, and so they know what's going on in your life, okay? But I'm asking you, give something to God in consecration. Give it to him. Amen? As we journey toward the last quadrant of this year, as we race toward the end of 2021, guess what, man? Go to Hobby Lobby. Those guys are decked out for Christmas already, okay? They're excited about the holidays coming up, okay? So we're racing toward the end of 21, and I want you to ask, what is it that God purposes for me? What is it that God purposes for the church? More specifically, this house of worship, the influence of Carpenter Shop International Church upon this region. We're going to be asking some of you to help us do some things. And like Joel Tapscott so beautifully said yesterday on his social media platform, when the pastor asks you, don't say no. Okay? Don't say no. We're going to be asking some of you to do some special things to help us propel to the next place, to keep people connected in a greater way. Church is not like church used to be. It's not. We've got to be creative. We've got to be more creative to cause people to want to stay connected, be connected, and engaged in what God has for them and through them in the local church. It is possible for God, listen, to supernaturally lead his people, to reveal to his people, to speak to his people concerning where they are and also where they are going. In the Old Testament, check this out, Isaiah the prophet saw the people of God in a divine light. He said the Spirit of God spoke to him. Let's pick it up in the 40th chapter of Isaiah in the Old Testament. I'm using the New Living Translation today. Some people call it the NLT. The New Living Translation says this. Here's an old man of God, a strong prophetic voice of the Old Testament, the one who spoke and said that there was a Messiah coming, okay? He prophesied Jesus, and Jesus came to pass. He's an Old Testament prophet. This is what he said, comfort, comfort my people. Be of good cheer, in other words. Be comforted, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about a Messiah who is going to come on the scene and take his way all the way to the cross and bleed and die for the sins of the whole world. He's prophesying. He's hundreds of years before Jesus. He's prophesying that Jesus will come. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice for all her sins, but listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Who's he talking about? John the Baptist. He's talking about John the Baptist who would come on the scene. Check this out. I'm studying the Bible out loud. There's an Old Testament. And then you flip over from the Old Testament to the what? The New Testament. But in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, what do you have? It's called the intertestamental period of time where there was a famine in the land. Not of food and water. There was a famine according to the Old Testament prophet. A famine of God's word. 300 silent years where God on the throne of glory chose not to speak to his people. Come on now. How many of y'all just learned something? Come on. 300 years and God doesn't say a word. And you have trouble when your wife won't speak to you for a week because she spent too much money. God doesn't speak for 300 years. He doesn't say a word to anyone. All you have is the old covenant. And then someone comes on the scene. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Hey, God's getting ready to talk to us again. And he sends one by the name of John the Baptist who says, hey, I'm not worthy to bend down and even loosen the shoe of this guy, but hey, come behold the Lamb of God. Okay? So here, are you with me now? Are you up where we need to be here? He says, this is what I want you to know. Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Verse 4, fill the valleys, level the mountains, the hills, straighten the curves, smooth out the rough places. Then, verse number 5, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. He concludes with this. The Lord has spoken. Whether you want to believe it or not, the Lord has spoken. Okay? He's prophesying a Messiah that will come, but he's prophesying also a forerunner whose name was John the Baptist, who ate locust and wild honey. He's prophesying this man who comes and prepares the way for the Messiah. Isaiah is speaking, check this out, in prophetic progression. Some things that must, somebody say must, happen before all of this manifestation of God's God-man in the flesh, Jesus Christ, can come on the scene. And through Jesus Christ coming on the scene, he's gonna change the earth. Amen? He's talking really, literally, when you think about it, he's talking about how true revival comes, how a true God-ordained path to the presence of God, the power of God, and the provision of God are made known. You see, in the context here, when the prophet Isaiah speaks up, he sees in the Spirit. Jesus is nowhere to be seen. John the Baptist is not born yet. So what is he doing? He's seeing in the spirit realm, okay? He's seeing, and God Almighty is revealing to him. It's a revelation. He's revealing to him what's going to happen here. You ask yourself the question here. I'm studying the Bible out loud. What's going on? That's what I ask myself the question. What is going on when he says this? I'll tell you what's going on. God's people, the children of Israel, are going into the midst of 70 years of captivity. Talk to some of these older saints. Mother Jenny, Mother Dawn, talk to some of these ladies who've been around for a long time, man. They can tell you, they can give you some Old Testament answers. Not because they're older, because they've been studying the book longer than you and I ever thought about it. And they can tell you that this is a time when the children of Israel have been taken captive in a strange land. How long? 70 years. And who would have ever thought that we would end up out of that with the most quoted verse in the Bible? Jeremiah 29:11 says what? "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a what? Future." So these people are carted some 500 miles away from Ahoskie, from their homeland. 500 miles from their homeland, carted off to some strange land and taken captive. Their rights are stripped. The men are emasculated. The people are forced to do things that they wouldn't normally do. 70 years. And God says, hey, I got something to tell you. And he raises up Jeremiah and says, hey, man, don't you struggle with this. I got plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So are you getting that verse now? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. There's an order to what God does. There is a plan with God. There is a progression, if you will. And let me just note here that the same is true with you and I today. Let's bring that historical truth into the context of where we're living right now. Some of us feel like we are held captive in a strange land. It's the land of the pandemic. Come on. We feel like we're bound and we're held captive, and you mask or you don't mask, and you shot or you don't shoot, okay? We're strange, a strange land that we live in today, and we cannot really see our way out of it. In fact, we thought we were out of it. Man, the pandemic is over, and then all of a sudden, here's a variant. The Delta variant that's reaping havoc on people worse than the first round, okay? 4 Assemblies of God pastors died this past week from COVID-19. 4 of them. 2 of them that were both vaccinated right out of the gate as soon as they heard there was a vaccine available. Both husband and wife went to the hospital. They are today fighting for their next breath, not knowing if they're going to survive COVID-19 or not. We're in this captivity seemingly by this pandemic, and we don't have any answers for what's going to happen. Can I tell you something? I wish somebody would just stop and thank the Lord that COVID has not caught God by surprise, that God's still on the throne, that he knows everything that is going to happen to us. We're going to move from pandemic to power, from COVID to confidence, from virus to victory. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Why? Because he's God. Come on, somebody. He's God. You can't catch him by surprise. The Bible says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is the shade at my right. He that dwelleth in the secret hiding place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. She asks you to memorize it. Okay? Just a couple of weeks ago, she said, memorize Psalm 91. How many of you did it? How many of you said, hey, I need to do that? One pastor came up to me and said, man, that was a great word Julie delivered. I've got that passage with a magnet on my refrigerator for the last 20 years. If there's any passage in the Bible that you should know every word of it, it should be Psalm 91. Because it's about a covenant-keeping God taking care of his young'uns. Come on. We should thank God. You see, half of the church sees the deal. Half of the church sees that we're under this crazy captivity by the ploys of the political pundits, and many are bound by the bureaucrats who seek to control their lives, and it's clear to some people, but the other half are just sold out to the government. And can I just tell you something? Jesus talked about the birth pains in the early Gospel of Matthew. He talked about a time when the Antichrist would come on the earth. And I've had people sincerely call me every week of my life or ask me or send me a text message, Pastor, is the vaccine the mark of the beast? I'm embarrassed to ask you, they would say. I said, no. The COVID vaccination is not the mark of the beast. Well, I might be ignorant, Pastor, but can you please tell me? I'm very nervous about it. I did take the shot. I'm very nervous about it. Could you please tell me why you say that the vaccination is not the mark of the beast? I said, because where will you be when the mark of the beast takes place? Pastor, I hate to tell you, but I don't know. Okay. That's why it's important for you to show up here every week. I promise to give you updated information from the Bible, okay? I promise to preach from the Word of God and not from the news station. It is not the mark of the beast, but, somebody say but. But it is an example of the birth pains that are already inherent in this earth and in this political structure. You see, what's coming next? Can I just go ahead and tell you what's coming next? Mandatory vaccination. Some of you who are working have already got the letters. If you're going to keep on working here, you got to take the mark of the beast. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago on the street, Pastor, do you have any idea? I just hate to ask this. I'm rolling up my sleeve here. I'm embarrassed, Pastor. Do you think that this is the mark of the beast? I said, no, that's the mark of the beast right there. Okay. They said, what is that? I said, it's a tattoo. You got a tattoo? I thought you didn't like tattoos. I didn't, but I love Matt. And when Matt was getting ready to shut his business down because the government said, you have to shut it down. It was 4:30 that day, you remember it? He was supposed to close at 5, and it was going to be over with for who knows how long. He didn't know how long. Who knows how long this is going to last? So I said, I went into the shop. I said, Matt, I'm here today to be an encouragement to you, man. Trust God. Hang on. God's going to make it through for you. And it's 4:30, and I know you close in 30 minutes, but go ahead. Make my day. He said, Pastor, you don't like tattoos. I said, yeah, but I love you. I love you. And it's not going to bother me to have the cross of Jesus Christ on my wrist for the rest of my life. So give me a cross. What kind of cross? Any cross will do. Okay. Just hit me with your best shot. Come on, man. Okay. This is not the mark of the beast. This vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Half of you have taken it, half of you haven't. That's your decision. That's your business. I respect you both. Okay? That's a good place to clap. Okay? I respect you both. Okay? It's your choice. But there's coming a time when there won't be a choice. Okay? Letters are going out. They're going to move toward your children. Okay? Going to make it mandatory. You got to do this. You got to do that. And that, my friend, is a birth pain. It's a birth pain. In fact, as I'm standing here today to you, speaking to you on September the 5th, I got a daughter-in-law and a daughter who are both due around September the 11th. And what's going to happen to them is birth pains, okay? And then guess what's going to happen? Baby's coming, okay? Two of them, all right? One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. Already bought my tickets, okay? Just so you'll know, I'm out of here, okay? This is my family, okay? So I'm going to see them because I'm moving from 4 grandkids to 6 grandkids in the same week. Praise the Lord. We're halfway there. We got 6. We want 12. Knock yourself out, Zach. Knock yourself out. All right. But This is the birth pain. And my question for you is, what happens after birth pains? The real deal comes, okay? So how long, Pastor, can you tell me? How long, in another 10 years, another 15 years, how long before it's the real deal and the church is out of here and then the Antichrist comes on the scene? See, don't forget that. The church leaves the earth. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Come on, caught up together in the clouds with those who have been raised from the dead. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you imagine when a cataclysmic event such as the rapture takes place? And immediately, the only people that leave are the graves of the dead in Christ and the living Christians on the earth. Not church-going folk, living Christians. Okay? There's a difference. And they're gone. The world is going to be nothing short in a moment of chaotic. So what happens? That is when the big guy who's already born and on planet Earth is going to step up to the microphone and say, peace, peace. We got it all worked out. You know, the system's already worked out. Okay? Remember when we were a 919 state? Then we went from a 919 state to a 252. Then a 919-252-336. Then a 919-252-336-704. And we got shrinking down to find more control over where we have you and where you're at and what you're saying and what you're doing. You will not be able to flee. You will not be able to get away from the Antichrist. Well, Pastor, I got a question for you. Let's study the Bible out loud just a little bit more. Is it still possible? Suppose I missed the rapture. Anybody had concerns about missing the rapture? Don't raise your hand. Just come to the altar at the end of the service. Surely people have had concern about missing the rapture. Can you still, here's a question, can you still go to heaven if you missed the rapture? And the answer to that question is yes. How? Then you will be forced to do the very same thing for him that he already did for you. He shed his blood. He died. So why do you say that, Pastor? Because if you don't take the mark, and this ain't it, okay? If you don't take the mark, then you cannot purchase. You cannot buy. You cannot sell. You cannot get you a new set of this or set of that or a new pair of shoes. You can't do anything. You can't get food unless you have the mark. And, well, I got plenty of money. Money is not going to be here. Money is going away more rapidly than you even imagine. Money is leaving us. Okay? I mean, look at your behavior. Cash App, Venmo. Look, that's where we're going. Everything electronic. Completely. No cash. Pennies are already worthless. They don't even make a sound when they hit the floor. There's no copper there. Try the nickel, it's the same way. It's just a little round thing that says the value of it is still 5 cents. So, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, but if you're willing to do what? Take the mark, take the chip, whatever, then you can conduct business. That's what the Antichrist will introduce to you. Where will you be at that time? Gone. Okay? We are a pre-tribulational, thank you. We are a pre-tribulational, Bible-believing church who thinks and knows, according to God's word, that the church will be taken away before all hell breaks loose on planet Earth. Okay? Why? Because God didn't design his wrath for you. Okay? God is good, man. He's good. I ain't getting too far in this message because I'm off the course. Sorry, guys. I'm just off. I'm out here fishing in the deeper water, okay? God has everything ready. He provided a plan for you and for me that all you had to do is accept the plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. You say, well, you know, that's kind of biased. People are, yes, for there is no name under the heavens that men can be saved other than the name of Jesus. And it, I don't give a flying rip if you're a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever you are. That doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know Jesus? That's what matters. Okay. Talked to a young guy this week by text that the Holy Ghost just burned into my spirit. I need to contact that guy because I've been at this altar right here with him, broken before, broken, praying that God would move in his situation. His relationship with his spouse was all gone south. Everything was unwinding. He was losing everything that he loved so much. And for week after week after week, he was an emotional bag of tears. He stood at this altar week after week after week, hear me, and cried and pleaded with God, please, Lord. And he got closer to the Lord. And then it became clear that he wasn't going to get his wife back. So he just acknowledged that and found a replacement. Too fast. Some men just got to have a woman. Some woman just got to have a man. My question is, how many of these guys are you going to try? How many? How many relationships are you going to go through before you let the Lord build the house? Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Why don't you let God raise up your husband? Why don't you let God raise up your wife? Okay? So I noticed online, he's really an advertisement for challenging behaviors. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to reach out to him. And I text him, hey, man, I remember times praying for you 3 or 4 years ago when you were broken at the altar. How are you doing? Just had you on my mind. Bloop, comes right back to me. I mean, instant. Wow, Pastor, that you would contact me today is amazing. I'm still in a bad way. Oh, okay. Now we're talking. I'm still in a bad way. I go to church with my parents, but it's meaningless. I think I need to come back to your house. Okay, do that. 10 o'clock on Sundays. Because I remember when you were broken in his presence. Okay, let's get back there again and let the Lord build your house. Okay. So, you know, some people just got a wrong idea about church. You know, just got a wrong perspective about church and the relationship with the church and all. It's really about relationship with Christ, okay? God has charted this path for Israel to be released from captivity. God just does this. He leads his people. He guides his people. He speaks to his people. He gives clarity. And God had charted this course. And if you look in Mark chapter 1, look at those three verses. Mark is now quoting as John the Baptist sets the stage. And he's going back and he's picking up the words of Isaiah. Are you with me? He's picking up the other text that I read to you. He's picking up the words. He says, the beginning of the good news. Remember, don't forget, 300 years, no word from God. The beginning of the good news. God's talking again. Are y'all with me? The famine's over. So he says, I bring you, this is the Bible. I bring you the good news about Jesus, the Messiah. As it is written in where? Isaiah, the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in a wilderness. What a wilderness when God doesn't say anything for 300 years. What a dry, barren wilderness. Are y'all with me? Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. The application is for us today as God has made the path for Messiah to come and we have accepted Him as Savior. How many of you know that you can't put a Band-Aid on a cut that requires stitches? You know, when you get cut, you have to make an assessment and a determination. And somebody will come up to you and say, hey, let me take a look at that. Oh, it's nothing. You'll say, oh, it's nothing. Well, if it's nothing, you don't even need a Band-Aid. Because God has created the human body to heal itself. In fact, one of the greatest antibiotics known to mankind is what? Human blood. Okay? And so you will just watch it and it'll just, let's say it like it is, scab over. Because God has Band-Aids built in. Okay? But if it's bad and you have assessed that you need to do something further, you have to go to the hospital and you might require what? Stitches. Okay? You might require stitches. You can't put a Band-Aid on a cut that requires stitches. You can't simply smooth out, here we go, rough places when there are some valleys that need to be filled. God always has a plan. Ultimately, Isaiah says in verse number 5, what we want here is for the glory of God to be revealed in the earth. That's what we're waiting on. God, reveal your glory in the earth. Verse 5, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. I want to share with you very quickly 4 areas. Don't miss this. 4 areas that God has addressed in this Isaiah prophecy that has to happen in my life, in your life, in your life, in your every life. It has to happen. God has to do some things. Listen, this church has done really well. I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of the church because we've already accomplished far more than some of our other brothers and sisters who are sitting in buildings right now just like we are. But our church is like Walmart and McDonald's. Anybody can get a hamburger. Some of y'all didn't get that. Okay? We have crossed the bridge to diversity. And red and yellow, black and white, all gathered together in the same facility and worship. Some of them are still, you know, it's still black church, white church. And some of them are so afraid that someone is going to walk in the door who's not like them. Okay? But you've already crossed that. The church has done well. But as I said earlier, the reason we're not packed, the reason we're not overflowing is that individuals like you and like me are not packed and overflowing with divine hunger to see God take this thing to the next level. The church must move beyond mediocrity and complacency. Yesterday, I passed by Pizza Hut in Edenton. The drive-thru had probably 15 to 17 cars in it. You know what I call that? A passion for pizza, okay? I'm telling you what, food lines across the street. Before car number 15 can get their pizza, you could have walked over to the food line, bought a crust, some pepperoni slices, and some tomato sauce, and made your own, honey. You're going to be sitting in that line 20, 30 minutes before you get your pizza. But why did they do that? Because they had a determination. I'm going to get me a hot pizza, okay? The church needs to get a divine passion for the things of God. We are missing it. We are so missing the passion that God requires for us to really see His hand at work. Are you hearing me? Are you letting this thing lodge into your spirit today? John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said this, "If you catch on fire, people will come out and watch you burn." Okay? Okay? If you catch on fire in the spirit, people will come out and watch you burn. four things we have to do. Number one, according to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4, he says, fill the valleys. I'm going to be real quick, and we're going to be on our way out of here. Fill the valleys. The valley is usually a low place that exists between the mountains, okay? You got this valley is a low place, and you got this huge mountain. Mountain down in the valley, valley so low. Y'all get that? It's a low place. It's a valley. He says, I want you to fill the valleys, fill the gaps. He's used an engineering analogy that is understood. Any shovel-leaning person that works for DOT, y'all didn't get that either, I'm sorry. Did you get that? The Department of Transportation. I never figured out why it took 15 people to work at that spot. You know, one man's in the hole, the other 14 are watching him. That's your tax money at work. But this is a DOT analogy. These are valleys. How many of y'all remember just a couple of years, 3 years ago, when they built the road between Ahoskie and Winton that goes on up to Virginia, and all kinds of construction was going on? And how many of y'all rode over that terrain besides me and looked over to your right into the swampy land on the side and ask yourself the question, they're going to build a road there? How many of y'all did that beside? They're going to build a road over there? Are you serious? You know what they were doing? Filling valleys. Filling low places. Low swampy places. Running water out. Filling it up. How many of y'all enjoy riding on that highway right now? 62, 63, 65. Come on. Feel the Holy Ghost. Woo, 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 woo. Oh, yeah, yeah. You better slow down. I got stopped there a few weeks ago, and the guy came up to the window, and he said, Pastor, keep on going, man. Have a good day. How about slowing down for me? Thank you for calling me into the ministry, Lord, okay? I didn't get a ticket. I get that kind of mercy sometimes, but it doesn't give me a prescription for speeding, okay? Thank you for doing your job, sir. I'll slow down. How many of you have gaps in your life? Low places that need to be filled in with the proper material. Second thing you got to do is level mountains. Speak to the mountain. Ah, that was a powerful song this morning. I think you'll hear it again in just a few minutes. You got to level the mountains. Pastor Joy didn't let you off the hook. She said, you got to do it. Pastor can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. You have to speak to your own mountain. Okay? Level the mountains. Isaiah 40, verse 4. Level the mountains. Mountains are hard to climb. If the path that we're on includes mountains, we must understand that there will be some upward steps, that you will break a sweat. You will struggle. Yesterday, I went kayaking for a little while, borrowed kayaks. I don't own kayaks, and I sure ain't buying one after yesterday's experience. I'm dragging this thing. I got in it three times before the thing didn't flip over. I turned over twice before I had to bail water in it. I had to pick that 200-pound thing up over my head and empty it because my body sunk it. And I finally got into it and rowed. Finally got into it and rowed in that kayak. And I just, you know, I understand that some of this stuff takes effort. And you've got to get to the place where you understand that there's effort involved here. That you're going to break a sweat. You're going to work hard if you're going to level mountains. I don't care if it's getting into kayak for the first time or going through this relationship challenge that you have faced or leaving the bank and saying, I don't know what happened, but I promise you it won't happen again. Or whatever you're facing, whatever area of life you're facing, you've got to deal with the mountains in your life. Deal with them. Stop covering up and saying, it'll just get better. It's not going to get better until you fill in some valleys and level some mountains. You got to do it. You got to do it. Thirdly, you got to straighten the curves. This is what Isaiah said. You got to fill the valleys. You got to level the mountains. You got to straighten some curves. I don't know about you, but when I drive, I take an airplane whenever possible. But when I'm forced to drive a long ways, I do love me some straight highways. I just put that cruise control on. Just ease back in the seat, rest my legs. Just let it go, man. 75. Okay. Honey, you're speeding? I ain't gonna stop you for 75. Look, these people are passing by me. I'm 75. Shoo, shoo, shoo. How many have been on 95? That's the speed limit out there. Come on. Okay. I love those straight roads. Straight roads. You don't face a curve. And because you don't have a curve, riding is a whole lot easier. But sometimes we have some curves. Some of you know some curves that have ended up to be damaging for people. A curve is a dangerous thing, man. And so if you've got curves in your life, I've got the curve of a foul mouth. I've got the curve of bad thoughts. I've got the curve of a terrible habit. I've got the curve of dishonesty. I've got the curve. I can't tell the truth. I've got the curve of losing my temper. Are y'all hearing me yet? If you've got some curves, God is calling upon you. If you want to truly see revival in your life, you are called to straighten the curves out. Make your journey easier. Stay on the straight path. Amen? Jesus even said that. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. And I hate this part, but he says there's only going to be a few that find it. Straighten the curves. Fourthly and finally, musicians, join me here. I'll just be kind to you and tell you I ain't halfway my message, but I respect you. I'm going to let you out of here before the bell rings. The last thing you got to do is smooth out those rough places. The valleys are filled, the mountains are level, the curves are straightened. I remember looking at that highway from Ahoskie over toward Winton, and I was amazed every time I'd go by and another fire had burned, another mountain of logs is gone. They're putting in dirt now. Man, this is a road. We're going to have a road. Prepare ye the way of the DOT. Make straight paths. They did it. That's unbelievable. God is wanting to do that in your life. And when you just think you're almost done, God says, hey, we got a few more rough places. Rough places. Got some rough places to deal with. Rough places. How many of y'all rejoice when you've been taking this same old road for so many years and all of a sudden Rose Brothers got a contract? And man, when they put a new blacktop on that thing, how many of y'all been Nag's Head through Lisbon City this year? Come on. Pastor Joy and I bumped into Chip on the Ocracoke Ferry a few weeks ago. I said, man, what in the world are you doing down here? He said, oh, we're paving that road from Lisbon City. I had to come down here to bid another job, but hey, which way did you come today? I said, well, we came through Columbia. We live in Edenton, so we came through Columbia. But we're going back to Lisbon City way. He smiled and said, you're going to love it. Hit that blacktop from the Outer Banks. Oh, it's a smooth place. 75, 79. Come on, man. This is smooth. Oh, 81. How many of y'all know your car rides better when you're fast? Huh? You got to listen, all seriousness. Some of you have filled a lot of valleys. Some of you have leveled some mountains and you've made some curves straight. You know, you get to church about one, two Sundays a month, but you still got some rough places that need to be smoothed out. Okay? Smooth it out. thought life, behaviors, habits, rough places that God is speaking to you today to get smooth. Okay? Why? Don't forget this. Because God is trying to show you the path. Here's my punchline. God is trying to show you the path in your own heart for revival. Okay? Revival means me. I have taken the necessary steps to get all of these things taken care of. Isaiah prophesied it. I've taken the necessary steps so that I can truly, really, what's the first thing I do in the morning when I get up? I get these glasses. Now I can see clearly what revival is in my own life. It's not when I made all five nights of services. No. It's not when I showed up every time. I didn't miss a single one of those men. No. That's not revival. Revival is when you find the gaps in your life and you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and you fill them up. And you level the mountains that are ahead of you and you don't let anything stop you. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. I press. Study that word, press. It means to strain till it hurts. Come on. Strain till it hurts. I press and I level mountains and I straighten curves. You got to get rid of those times where you just have stuff that's just, nobody's going to know about it. Just me and you, you know, just we can work this, just me and you. Nobody, well, it's not really right. Nobody will know. That's a curve. That's a curve. Straighten the curves. Smooth the rough places. Let the fire of God's presence fill you so that you can truly and clearly see what a revived soul lives like. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Okay? All of these things are now manifesting in my life. I've got control of things, okay? I'm not making bad choices. My life has been revived. I don't know about you, but that's what I want for me. Okay? You have to always remember, Pastor, that was a good sermon. How many of y'all agree with me? I think this is a good sermon. Before you get it, I get it. All right? I got this long before you even thought about being here today. Okay? God wants you to see clearly what revival looks like to your soul. If that's what you want for yourself, just raise your hand right now. Come on. Just slip your hand up. Pastor, this is what I want. I want that. I want that. Look at the hands all over this building. I want revival in my own soul. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, stand with me, would you? In the name of Jesus, I come before you today, and I'm asking you, God, that you have caused your people to come together and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and you've spoken to us, Lord. You're creating a highway in a desert place. We're in the midst of a pandemic, and we're tired of it, Lord. But you can take a pandemic and turn it into a powerful experience. You can take a virus, God, and cause us to walk in victory. And God, we trust you to do all things well in our souls today. We give ourselves to you afresh and anew. Lord, come on, pray this prayer with me out loud. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean in your blood. Transform my thought life. Transform my behaviors so that I live a life that is clearly seen as revived. In Jesus' strong name, amen. and amen. Come on, worship God together. Put your hands together for him. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, if you want to make your way to the altar and stand in his presence, just come on and gather around the altar and stand in his presence. Those of you that would like to, no pressure. No pressure. Stand in his presence for a moment and let's just sing it unto him. Hallelujah.
I'm on.
Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we declare it today. We declare it, God, in our own lives. Empty places, low places, valleys filled in the name of Jesus. Father, crooked paths made straight in the name of Jesus. Mountains leveled in the name of Jesus. And God, rough places, I declare them smooth in Jesus' name. God, do your work. Help us to respond, God, to a time of consecration, a time of fasting, a time of praying, a time of believing, God, for the miracles to take place among us, in us, through us, God. In Jesus' mighty name, God, have your way. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be blessed as you leave today. The cafe is open. If you need a beverage, iced coffee, hot coffee, whatever you need, the cafe is open. They've got some treats back there. Fellowship among yourselves as you leave today. God bless you.